We desire your prayers tonight or today. First time I come here was in 1978. Tent meeting that year. It had been before that. I don't exactly remember what year Brother March started out here, but it was somewhere 75, 76, 77. They poured the basement, started the basement, everything that summer of 1978. Some of us helped work on that. We were here. And one side note, if I've got the right year in mind, this could have been later, but the tent was set up and the preacher was preaching away and got to looking, and there's three deer moved up on the side of the tent, not very far away. And to say the least, the preacher was not getting all the attention about that time. Those three does were getting plenty of looks. So that's something that you won't have in most meetings cross country that I've been in. And matter of fact, this is the only one I've had that happen at down through the years. But I'm glad to be in Green Bank. I love the country here. I love the people here. I'm glad to be here. Let's go to the 15th chapter of Luke. I need your prayers. I have something on my heart now for asking the Lord what He would want to start the meeting. And I felt like this is what He gave me. I need the Lord to put it all together and help us out here. 15th chapter of St. Luke. We'll start reading the third verse. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, over more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, doth light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it. And when she have found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice for me, I have found the place which, or found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I want to deal with a subject Search me. And right here, the man lost one sheep. This would be 1% of his flock. And this one sheep got away, and he went after that sheep. And he searched for it, and he looked for it, and he found it, and he was rejoicing over it. And I know the depth of this, but my thought is here, you and I, well, why did this man, was he so interested in one sheep? This wasn't a thoroughbred racehorse worth millions. It wasn't a prize cow, bull, that was worth millions. This was one little sheep. One. He had 100, one wit, 1%. It was not anything special, so to speak, but he went after it. He looked for it. He searched for it, and he found it. Listen today. The woman here, she lost a coin here, a piece of silver, and said that she swept the house and did seek diligently till she find it. Now, in her case, 10 pieces of silver, the one that she lost is more value, and the commentators bring out the point that she had lost something pretty valuable. It didn't bring that out so much here on the sheep. But the bottom line was, is they searched for it. They looked for it. They wanted to find that what they had lost. And they looked and they searched and so forth. Listen today, that sheep needed help to get back. That coin needed to be found. That coin wouldn't find itself. That sheep, being a lamb, little one, possibly would probably never come back to the flock. It would be lost. It would be out there. It would be in trouble. It needed help. It needed searching. It needed picking up, so to speak. It needed love. It needed tenderness. It needed something that only the shepherd could give it. Now then, you and I, search means a quest, a seeking, a thorough investigation to seek or to look for. Let's go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139, I think the 23rd verse here. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, the lamb was just a lamb. The money was just money. But if you get somebody that gets lost at sea, if you get an airplane or helicopter that goes down, and the call goes out, they're lost. They immediately begin to make the calls to get after and go search for, because that's a human being. That's not a lamb. That's not a piece of money. This is a valuable creation that God created. This is somebody that's a human being, our human being. There's been whole ships go down. There's been whole planes go down. And there's been survivors. And maybe they couldn't find them right away. And they would look and they would search. And they would go to great expense to find these individuals, because they were valuable, see. You and I are valuable this morning. You and I are valuable to God. You and I are somebody that we need help from God. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me, and know my..." No, that ain't getting right. Yeah, "know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me." Listen today. The bottom line is, you and I come here for a reason. What are our needs this morning? You and I need to come to this meeting, and I know the young people want to socialize, so to speak. I know some of the rest of us want to visit. But there's one reason why we're here, and that's God. And we need to treat it that way. We need to think, what do I need this morning? What has been the thing that is I've been working on or needing help with? And so consequently, God knows everything about you and I. There's not anything that can hide itself from God. You can't climb under something, get in a safe. You can't get in the Smithsonian Institution and hide somewhere and get where God can't see you. You go down the depths, the Bible said, and He's there. You go here and He's there. God is everywhere. He sees everything. He knows everything. But the bottom line is, this morning, He wants you to go, "Search me." He wants you and I to say, "Lord, I want to invite you to check me out. I need some help. I see I need some help. I've got this and I've got that. And I want you, Lord, to search on that." So consequently, I'm inviting you to come in. If a person goes to a doctor and they feel they have something wrong with them, the doctor asks them questions. What this, what that, and so forth. Had a case in South Carolina one time. About 2 o'clock in the morning, we got a call for prayer. Sister was needing prayer. They were headed to the hospital. They called for prayer, and Rebecca and I got up and went to prayer. The Lord touched them, and time they got about 45, 50 minutes down the road, they got to the hospital, they were fine. So they go on into the emergency room, and they put them into a room. After a little while, the doctor comes in. The doctor walks up and speaks to her, and they begin to talk. And he said, "Well, why are you here? Said, "Are you hurting? Where are you hurting?" And started questioning her. "Well, I'm not this, and I'm not that," and so forth. And he looked at her and goes, "What are you here for? What are you here for?" I told him later, I said, "You need to call first and pray first before you go anywhere." And so this morning, the doctor will question you. Where are you hurting at? Are you sick? you nauseated, so forth. He will question you to begin to get a feel of what it is. Here, we're saying, Lord, I want you to work on me. I'm opening myself up. The song that said there's a room, doesn't it say, in my heart, or a place in my heart that I don't want to go, and it works with that in that song. Listen, folks, today, most people have a junk drawer in their house. Go a little further, some of us have junk rooms. I've had one since Rebecca Ann died, that it was a room that was her everything room, and she worked in it and she loved it, and then when she died, I started putting stuff in there and shutting the door. Donna comes home, Dad, we got to work with this, so to speak. We got to do this, we got to do that. Well, today, you and I, our people, sometimes have a place, and it's in there, and they don't want to touch it. They don't want to look at it. They want to keep the door shut. One woman was getting married. Back up, let me change that a little bit. There was a man in the congregation that was getting married. She was a long distance away. He had been a bachelor for several years. He and I were great friends. So some of us said, we'll come over and we'll clean your house for you. And so some of them asked her about it. And she said, no, that's fine. We won't do that. Just leave it alone. She got to the house and got to looking. She said, I wish I'd have had you come. Listen, folks, we don't want to get to the judgment and Jesus say, you should let me work on you back there. Listen, folks, we need to start now. We don't want to keep putting it off. When the Lord is there, He's waiting. He's tenderly saying, so to speak, open your door. Let me work with you. Let me help you. Let me bless you. You and I need to say, search me. I want your help. I want you to work, Lord. Listen, folks, today, there is people that have things in their lives that they cannot get victory over by themselves. There is hurts, there's bitterness, there's unforgiveness, there's jealousy, there's different things that are there that God is going to have to help people. And the Lord's just waiting for you to say, search me. I'm going to open myself up. I want you to look me over. I want you to tell me what I need to do and then be willing to do it. Search me, O God. Search me. A lot of people come to meeting and they want everybody else to get the searching, not them. We need this as an individual salvation. This is an individual camp meeting, so to speak, that God is working individually with you. And so He says, search. We need to allow the Lord to do a thorough, complete, without any reservation, investigation into any place in our heart, in our soul, in our mind that we need Him to go and say, search me. Search me individually. God, I want you to help me. Oh, God. Now, we're dealing with God here. We're not dealing with anybody. Doctors can help people. Lawyers can help people. But doctors can't do everything, and neither can lawyers. But I've never had God say one time in any case that I've ever been involved in with myself or other, that He say, I want you to go over here and get help over there. He's always handled it Himself. He's always done, worked with, put it in His hand and say, God, we need you. And He would touch them, He would heal them, He would bless them, He would save them, deliver them, sanctify them. Whatever they need, God would work with it. He never sent anybody anywhere else. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and earth. I'm able to do anything you need this morning. What do you need? Let me come in and work with you this morning. Search me. When's the last time we invited the Lord to search you? When have you said lately, Lord, I want you to search me out. I want you, God, to do a thorough investigation. I want you to know my heart. I'm opening up the junk room. I've had people that I went into cleaning for and they say, don't mess with this room right here. Or don't do this or don't do that. Well, I'll do it. I leave it alone. There's times that I knew what was behind those doors. Door would be left open. I'd peek in and look, what's in there? You know, what's in there? Well, the Lord wants you to let Him come in and work. He wants you to swing the door wide open. Listen, folks, we're not going to tiptoe down the hall. We're going to walk down there boldly, and we're going to open the door, and we're going to say, Lord, here it is, right here. This unforgiveness that I've not been able to work with, this bitterness, this hurt, this anger, this wrath, this jealousy, this unbelief, all these things that I can't get help with, Lord, I'm going to say, search me, open it up. The Lord can tell you, I can help you, child. He told me a while back, he said, I can help you with that. I can help you. There's something I had to do, but he said, I can help you. He's here to help you. This meeting is here for you. Praise God. This meeting has been a very successful meeting. One of the best in the whole country all down through the years. And the reason is because God has blessed Green Bay over and over and over. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Are you willing to open yourself up? Sometimes with husbands and wives, sometimes something will happen with one or the other, and they don't always just let the other one know all about it. They don't just really tell them. Just kind of conceal it and hide it. And then maybe the other one will find out something about it. And they won't maybe say anything for a little bit, thinking, well, they'll tell me about it. And maybe they don't. Finally, somebody will say something. Listen today, the Lord knows all about us. He knows your phone number, your address. He knows your cell phone number. If you know that those of us who got cell phones, he knows your iPhone. He knows your iPad. He knows every hair on the top of your head. He knows all about you. And today, he wants you to say, search me. Open. I'm going to open myself up. I'm going to say, Lord, I want you to help me. Know my heart. Know the depths of it, Lord. Do a thorough investigation. Then try me. The Lord allows things to happen. And have you ever had something happen and then your reaction maybe kind of surprised you a little bit? Try me. Know my thoughts. Know what, how I'm going to react here. Help me here, Lord. Help me. Search me. Work with me. And see if there's anything in there that's not pleasing to God. See if there's something there. Lord, I need you. How close do we want to get to God, saints? Listen, we're going to have to go out into eternity one of these days, and we don't know when we're going to die, and we don't know when anything's going to happen, so to speak. So consequently, we need to be ready. We need to have everything taken care of. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me. Take me. I want to be in your will. I want to be blessed by you. Lead me in the way everlasting. Let's go to Job, the 13th chapter. Search me. When's the last time you asked the Lord to search you? 13 and 9 of Job. He said, is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do you so mock him? Some people think they can mock God. But it said, is it good that he should search you out? Is it good that we have him come in and search us? Yes. It is good that God work with us. And he wants us, like I said, he wants us to invite him in. He wants us to say, Lord, I want you. I love you. I want to know you better. When a couple meets, they begin to get interested in each other. Spending time together is how they know one another. And they go on and they fall in love and they get engaged and they get married. They start living together, start life out together and so forth. They become more and more knowledgeable of one another as time goes on. There'll be times after a while that somebody can ask the wife something or ask the husband, maybe ask one or the other about the other, what they think about something. They can tell them. Tell them exactly what they think. They know all about it. You don't even have to ask the one, just ask the other one. How close and how much time are we spending with God? How much time are we giving him to work with us? Letting him use the word, use the songs, use the Spirit, and talk to us. How many times are we getting still enough for Him to really tell us about ourselves? Lord, search me. Well, child, if you had sat still long enough, we could get something accomplished. We could do something. But you're going to have to get still. You're going to have to get quiet. Listen, folks, we live in a busy, busy age. We're running constantly, nearly. And we need to slow down. And I know what I'm talking about here. And I know it's not easy. But the bottom line is, if you want to get close to God, you're going to have to nestle up to Him and say, Lord, search me. I'm going to get quiet. I'm going to get all this out. The text messages come. The phone rings. The door knocks. The water's dripping. But the bottom line is, I'm not going to let any of that bother me. I'm going to nestle up to the Lord, and I want you to work me over. Help me to know what I need. Is it good that He searched you out? Yes. He is the greatest, finest searcher, because your soul is more valuable than anything you've got. Jesus spoke to me one time and He said, age does not... And see, child, age is not important to me. It's eternity that counts. It's eternity. He died to take you to heaven. He didn't die to give you 5,000 birthdays. He died to take you to heaven. He died to bless you, save you, redeem you, wash you, sanctify, heal you, do all these things to you. He died for that. And this morning, He wants to be close to you. But how close do we want to be to Him? Is it good that He should search you out? Yes, it is. When you lose something, what do? You go looking for it, don't you? And if it's something that you can't find right away, you might seek some help. With the children, with the husband, with the wife, with the congregation. And you go looking for that. I lost this. I can't find it. I need it. Help me. Wife, have you seen that? Husband, have you seen that? Children, you know anything about the keys? I got these keys, I can't find them. That'll shut a person down pretty quick. The other day I couldn't find my iPhone. I thought, where did I put it? I know. Somehow it had gotten down in a desk drawer and I'd partially shut the drawer. And when I looked across the top of my desk, I wasn't looking in the drawer. And I'm praying, Lord, I need somebody to call me. So my phone rang. Donna Beth texted me. And I heard it, and I heard it, and I got to look, and I thought, there it is. How'd you get in there? What are you doing in there, phone? Listen, today, we want the Lord to help us individually. You get to looking for, you get to searching for. Some people get desperate to find certain things. Today, you and I just need to sit back, kneel, and say, Lord, here am I. Search me. I want you to search me out. I want to know all about me. He's the one that can tell you more about yourself than anybody else can. Let's go to Jeremiah 17 and 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. So 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now the heart is deceitful. You may think you know your heart, but don't forget one thing. God's alive and the devil ain't dead. And the devil tries to work any way he can. So consequently, we need the Lord to help us. The heart is deceitful. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? You really don't know your heart like you think you do. And he said, then I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I try the reins. You know what the reins are? The reins in the ancient system of philosophy is the kidneys. They were believed to be the seat of desire and longings, which account to them being coupled with the heart, especially as a seat of feelings and passions, the emotions and the affections. So he's saying here, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I try the reins. He tries our passions. How much do you love God this morning? He gets down Abraham. When he allowed Abraham to go, or when Abraham went through what he went through with his son, God was trying him out. He was checking the depths of Abraham. God done it with his own son later. But he was checking him. How much do you love me, Abraham? He didn't say that, but I want you to go, and I want you to do this, I want you to do that, and so forth. And the son was not a 5-year-old boy. He was about 30-something years old, what I understand. So the father and the son had a long relationship. This was not something that was just beginning. And so consequently, they were no doubt close. And God was tempting, checking, trying. Abraham, what do you do? What would you do? I want you to sacrifice your son. I want you to go up on the mount. I want you to put him there. I want you to sacrifice him. What would you do, fathers? This gets down to the bottom. This gets down to where the rubber meets the road with our affections, our heart, and our depths. And he's getting down in there. And he's looking. He's trying. He's checking. He wants to know how much we love him. How much we will give to him. How far we will go for him. What we will do for him. He's wanting to know. Listen, folks. Search me. Get down. Check me out. I try the rein. I want to know, Lord. And do I love you as much as I need to? I want to do what you want me to do, Lord. I try the reins. Are we willing to allow him to check us out? Try us? Test us? Prove us? What does it say over here in Malachi? I believe it is. Let me look here. 3rd chapter of Malachi. I hadn't thought about this. They said here, 3 and 2 of Malachi, but who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire, and he's like fuller's soap, and he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering righteousness. He said, who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire. Listen, God is like a fire, so to speak. The Holy Spirit is a fire. It's for purging. It's for cleansing. It's for working. And he's going to set. And he shall set as a refiner and purify. He's going to purify you and I. But to do that, we need to allow him to do what he needs to do that. If you're just sitting there, and he can melt anything down. He can do anything he wants to do. But again, it said, search me. Put me through what you want to put me through. I open myself up to you. I want you to try the reins. I want you to search the heart. I want you to do, Lord, what you want to do. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Today, do we want some blessing from God? Do we want him to pour us out? How much do we want from God? How deep are we willing to go? How far are we willing to go? Some people want a surface religion, so to speak. Listen, give us that old time salvation where the glory's rolling and the bells and the blessings are flowing into our soul. Praise God. Lord, I want you to search me. I want you to bless me to the depths. Praise God. Are we willing to open ourselves up? How long will you live after this camp meeting? How long will you live? Oh, I've got a long time, do you? Did God tell you you had a long time? You're here. Now's the time to do business with God. It's not a time to keep waiting. It's not a time to keep putting it off. It's not a time to say, well, I'll take care of it the next camp meeting. Let's go to Monarch. I'll get it there. Will you? You may never get to Monarch. None of us may get to Monarch. The judgment may come first. Or you may die, or I may die. We may never get there. The Lord wants us to take care of business now. Search me. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he'll be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build the house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now it said, know thou the God of thy father. There is people in here that their fathers have been saints for many years. Their grandfathers have been saints, or was saints before they died. Know thou the God of thy father. Knowing. How well do we know this father? As Brother Marty was talking about the faithfulness, do we know him well enough that we can declare he's very faithful? What can you tell about him? What can you open up to people about God? You say, well, the Lord done this, 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 and this. How well do you know God this morning? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Said I, brother, when I came to you, the first verse, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything. In other words, Paul said, I want to know God. I'm interested to know Him. Listen, folks, today there's too many of us, Lord help us, knock on wood here, so to speak, there's too many interested in their five phones and their cell phones more than they're interested in God. We need to get down where God is. We need to say, Lord, search me. I want to get close to you. I want to know you. I want to know things about you. I want to know the faithfulness that Abraham talks about and Paul talks about and Mark and Matthew. I want to know this, Lord. And so consequently, I'm going to put this stuff aside. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are we here to get to the depths of what God is and to learn Him, to know Him? So he's saying, Solomon, how well do you know the God of thy father? Know him, Solomon. Get acquainted with him. Get close to him. You've got a job to do. I've chosen thee to build the house. I've chosen you to do a work. And so consequently, Solomon, there's not going to be an easy way. Listen, folks, it's not going to be all roses going to heaven. There's going to be some thorns and some bumps and some hard places along the way. You're going to have to know God if you're going to get there. You're going to have to know His faithfulness, His power, His glory. You're going to have to know who God is. Praise God. You're going to have to know in the night when you have no feelings, when you don't know anything but pain and suffering and anguish, or your companions dying, or your child's dying. You're going to have to know God for yourself. You're going to have to be well acquainted with Him, because if you don't, you're going to crumble in the moment of time. So consequently, we're going to have to know God. Know Him, Solomon. You got a big job ahead of you. Listen, folks, we all got a job to get to heaven. Salvation, work out your own salvation, the Bible said. It's not going to be always easy roses and a gold streak to go down. It's going to be some hard times that you and I are going to have to go through. Going to be some pain and some anguish. There's going to be some things that are hard. Know God of thy father. How well do we know the father, a father, so to speak? How well do you know him this morning? How well, what are you interested in this meeting? And serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, as the Lord searcheth all hearts and understand all the imaginations of the thoughts. Now then, the imaginations. What's he talking about here? This could be the very beginning of the thought process. You think something, and he knows the beginning of the thing before anything else. So he knows the imagination. One minister said this years ago, he said, see, how did he put that? The greatest nation of all nations is a nation of imagination. And there's something to that. There's something too, because there's a lot of imagination going on out there in the world today. And the Lord knows all about those thoughts. He knows the depths. He knows the secrets. He knows the things that maybe nobody else knows about you but you. And He wants you to say, Lord, search me. Open this up. I want you to show me exactly all about me. All right, let's go to Acts 1 and 24. Acts 1 and 24. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. Oh, today He knows our hearts. We might as well just open ourselves up and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I, work with me. What was it that Paul said? Wasn't it when the Lord struck him down, the ninth chapter of Acts, began to work with him? He said there, fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Ninth chapter of Acts, fourth verse. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now he said here, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Some people's kicking against the pricks. In other words, the Lord's trying to deal with you, and you're bucking that. You're standing against that. You're fighting that. You're not humbling to that like Paul did. And Paul said, What do you want me to do? Now, Paul had had people put in prison. He had done things that was not righteous at all. And now then the Lord has begun to deal with him and bring him down. The Lord dealing with you? Is He calling after you? Is He working with you? He wants you to say, Lord, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What can I do, Lord? I want you to say, I want you to open up your heart, child. I want you to open up to me. I want you to say, search me. Search me. Like I say, when a person gets lost, when a plane goes down, when the distress signals go out, people are all over the place looking for them. They really, I'm sure probably there's things that happened that people have called. One of the jets that crashed in Pennsylvania of the 9/11s, if I remember right, they were on their phone calling people, letting them know, and so forth. But in those cases, they really don't have to ask, because if people know they're in distress, they're going to go to them. They're going to go. Oh, today the Lord wants you to say, search me. Come. Come, Lord. I want you, Lord. I want you worse than anything else. Come. Let's go to Zephaniah 1 and 12. Let's begin to wrap this down. It shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and I'll punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that say in their heart, The Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. Now then, a lee is the settlings of wine, or the dregs. If I understand it right, the longer that stuff sets, the harder, I guess, it is to work with. And so the Lord is saying here that I'm going to search Jerusalem with candles. Now, if you take a big beam light and go out somewhere, you can see things pretty good. But if you take one candle in a dark room, there's light there, but you have to intently look. And we're not looking with a LED flashlight, or we're not looking with a million powered candlelight. We're looking with one little candle. So I'm going to search Jerusalem. In other words, I'm going to get down and I'm going to intently look and search and find. I'm going to check this out real good. Search me. Let's say, Lord, search me. Settled on their leaves. Plenty of men that are settled on their lees. They've got into a place where that they're just not moving very much. They're just sitting there. They're real content where they're at. They're not hot. They're not cold. They're lukewarm. And consequently, the Lord's having problems dealing with it. But He's searching. He's looking. He said, I'm going to punish them. I'm going to punish them. They're saying the Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Let's go to Revelation 2 and 18. Revelation 2 and 18. Search me. 2 and 18 of Revelation. To the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes likened to a flame of fire, and his feet likened to fine brass. Said, I know thy works, charity, service, and faith, thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first, notwithstanding. I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself to be a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into her bed, them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. Now, these people he's dealing with, I have a few things against thee. I know thy works. Thy charity and thy service and faith, thy patience, thy works, the last to be more than the first. We can have a lot of good things about us, but folks, the only way we're going to be made perfect is by the help of God. You aren't born perfect. You're helped to be made perfect by God, by His Spirit, by His blood, by His power. So consequently, these people had some good things. Everybody in here has got some good things. All of us got some good things. Some's got some more faith than others. And some's got lots of love and so forth. But he said, I have a few things against thee. I know where you are. I know who you are. I know all about you, he's saying. And there's some things you're doing that I ain't happy with. Is there anything we're doing the Lord wouldn't be happy with? Let's be honest, folks. Let's open up our heart and our mind and be honest with God. We're not dealing with the preacher. We're not dealing with the congregation. We're dealing with God. We're going to have to meet Him. At the end of every man's life is God. We're going to deal with Him one of these days, no matter how we treat Him here and what we do here. When we step out in eternity, it's God's eternity, and He's going to be there, and we're going to deal with Him. And so consequently, we need to be ready now. We need to get these things. What is there down there? What would He say about you and I? If He walked up and sat down by us and He said, okay, you do this and you do that and you do this, you do that. It's all good. Thank the Lord for all of that. But I have somewhat against thee. What would He tell us? How deep would He dig? What would He get down into? Lord, help us. What would He say to you and I if He sat down by us and He began to work with us? Just what would He do with you and I? It's eternity that counts, folks. We can have everything we want here, but we're going to leave it all one of these days. We're not taking anything with us. We can have all the billions that Trump's got, that Trump has, but I got news for you. Trump's going to die one of these days, and he's going out into eternity, and he's going to leave every dollar of it right here. All his building and everything, I don't know who will get it, but the bottom line is, you and I need to be ready to meet God. We need to say, Lord, search me. Come, Lord Jesus, and look at me. Search me. He knows all about us, folks. He wants us to open up to Him. He wants us. Over in Hawaii, they have a macadamia nut. This macadamia nut is a small, about like a pecan. They're round pretty well. But you can't crack them with a pecan cracker. You have to crack them with a special deal that is made just to crack them. And what this thing is like a V. And you drop that nut down in it, and it has a handle, and it takes these deals and it brings it together like that and cracks that nut and pops it open. We don't need to be a macadamia nut. We don't need to be something that's hard to crack. We need to be something that the Lord can work with. Gentle, soft, easy. Lord, I want you to search me. Lord, I want more of thee. I want to know thee. I want to understand thee. What do I need to do, Lord? What have you got against me? Is there anything, Lord, that I can move up and measure up on? Open ourselves up to God. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, Lord, search me? I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest. Because you are allowing things to go on that shouldn't go on. You've done things that you know you shouldn't do. Has the Lord give you any convictions on some things that you hadn't stuck with? I have a conviction against voting. I don't vote. I know why, I think. But he told me many years ago, after he called me in the ministry, he said, I want you to leave all that alone, so to speak. So I don't vote. If you vote, that's fine. I don't fall any fault with anybody that votes, but I don't vote. One time in South Carolina, the Republican Party was working with me. They called me in, they were sending me stuff, and they wanted me to be involved. And I give just a little bit. And I told him yes. And I got out to pray, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, what did I tell you, child? That got my attention real quick. I got up and I got back on the phone. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do anything for you. What did I tell you? Now, I don't think that was sin, but the bottom line is I let down just a little bit. Are you letting down just a little bit? The Lord's give you a conviction on this or on this. He's dealt with you here and dealt with you there. He's given you the Word. He's built. He's taken time. And He's working with you. And yet you're wanting to give a little on that. I have some motto against you, he said. You're allowing her to do things. Are we allowing ourselves to do something we shouldn't do? All he had to do was say, what did I tell you? That got my attention real fast. I got it taken care of real quick. Abraham took care of it real quick. Paul took care of it real quick. Are we willing to take care of it real quick? Are we been dabbling around the deal? The Green Bank Quartet sang a song. Swim on out. Was that the name of it, Brother Tony? Or wait on out. Wait on out. I love that song. In other words, don't quit getting around the edge. Get on out. Get out into this. Get out into the power, the love, the mercy. Get out into God. Get everything He's got for you. Don't quit just getting around the edges. Get out and swim, child. It's time to search me, oh God. Are we allowing Him? Are we asking Him? Search me, Lord. Will we? Let's stand. Let's have a number. I appreciate your prayers, your time, your attention this morning. Pray for me.